things that God's called you to do. So when we have talked for 4 weeks about the anointing, understand the anointing helps you to go places you've never gone before. It helps you to break barriers, to break yokes. The anointing is something that comes on you to help you do what God's called you to do. So now we've laid that foundation, and every person in here, if you've been here for 4 weeks, you should know right now that you are anointed. Everybody say, I'm anointed. But you must also understand that not only are you anointed, but before you ever were anointed, you were called. You were called before you were anointed. And every person in here must understand the purpose, almost what came first, the chicken or the egg. What came first, the calling or the anointing? The calling on your life came before the anointing on your life. And make sure you say it. I'm going to be redundant for just a moment. Because the reason God gave us an anointing is because he's called you to do some things. And what every person must understand is, yes, you're anointed, but also you have a calling, which means you have a purpose. And the greatest question and struggle that I've seen many times is when people try to figure out, God, what am I called to do? What literally am I called to do in this life? And let me make sure you understand that every person, just like you have an anointing, every person must understand you have a calling or a purpose. How do I know this? It's because the only reason you're alive is not because you have an anointing. The only reason you're alive is because you have a calling. The calling means you have a purpose on earth. Without the calling, you wouldn't be breathing right now. Because the only reason you're here is because you have a work to do. The anointing helps you in whatever that work is. The anointing helps you and to open doors and favor you to go places you've never gone before to do things God's called you to do. And so we've got to understand that, yes, you're anointed, but more importantly, you have a calling. Somebody say, I have a calling. Give me Romans 11:29. Let's work this thing for just a moment. Romans 11:29. For it says the gifts and callings, everybody say callings, of God are irrevocable. I need you to catch this. Let's separate that anointing, because we were there for a few weeks talking and working and just grinding in the anointing. If one thing we learned about the anointing is it can come and go. The anointing can lift off you, and the anointing can leave you in seasons and come back. You don't always stay anointed. But the difference in the anointing and the calling, here it is, it says, for the gifts and callings, we're focused on callings, not the gifts. Now, gifts is right there, it's talking about doma gifts, the apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet. That's what it's talking about. But the callings, the callings on people, we need to understand they're irrevocable. Meaning your anointing can lift, but your call, whatever you're called to do, will always be there. And the reason it'll always be there is because it's the reason you're living today. I can't take your purpose away, then you have no purpose on earth. Your anointing I can take away, because the anointing helps you in your calling. And if you're not living for God the right way, we learned already God could take that anointing back and make the calling a lot harder for you to walk in. God help me. The anointing creates favor on your life, but God says, here's why I can't take away the calling, because that's the reason I brought you into the earth. And the moment you no longer have a calling, then that's when I'll take you from the earth. Y'all got to be careful here. Because we've got to understand that the power of your life is connected to the calling on your life. And the calling was, see, I told you before, when you got saved, the anointing came on you. Before you got here, the calling was already put on your life in the spirit. Once you gave your life to God, we talked about how the Holy Spirit comes on us and there's different types of anointings. But before you get here, God already gave you a calling. Watch this. Give me Jeremiah 1:5. Give me Jeremiah 1:5. Let's lay a good foundation before we slay this thing. It says here, before I formed you in the womb. Oh, this is good. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. He said, before you hit your mother's womb, I already gave you purpose. Before she ever took the little EPT test. Did I say that right? Y'all laughing. I don't know if that's right. Is it right? Okay. Before she ever got the little plus or cross or minus on the stick, God said, before it ever happened, I already called you to something before you even had existence. He said, listen, I gave you purpose before you got here. So, oh God, this is good. And so we got to understand that God before, this is how important a calling is. See if you can catch this with me. The anointing you got, you were already here. And when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came on you and gave you power and favor to do things that you were called to do. You got that when you got here. But watch the difference in the calling and the anointing. God says, before you were born, I spent time working on your calling. Okay, y'all slow. Okay. This blows my mind because it made me think the preparation that went into a calling from God. He didn't wait. He said, before you got here and were born, I already saw and started working on something before you even came in the earth. So that tells me how important a calling is to God, is because how much preparation he put in it before you were even born. Okay, we like to eat at this church. We like to eat. You can get a food illustration. When you think about the greatest meal of the year is typically Thanksgiving. And do you realize that when people make if you make a really good Thanksgiving meal, you don't prepare Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. When you make dinner tonight, you're going to start it when you get home tonight. But Thanksgiving, you put preparation before the day even arrives because it's a special day. But any other night, you come in, just make something, give me some eggs, I don't know, throw something in it, let's just have dinner tonight. But on Thanksgiving, don't nobody do that. Weeks ahead, get you a turkey. Weeks ahead, get your ham. The night before, everybody's making the pumpkin pies and spending nights and you know, making the mashed potato and doing all the stuff they do. They spend time before the day gets here. Why? Because it's a special day. And what am I saying to you? God, this is how I know I'm special. I don't know about you. Maybe you'll ride with me. It's because God let me know before you got here, I spent time working on you. I didn't just wait till you get here and say, throw him one of those. He said, before I put preparation into your life, because I knew how special the calling was that's on your life. And if anybody needs anything this morning to pick your self-esteem up, is you got to realize that God started working on you before you got here, and that lets you know you're special to him. He didn't wait till you were born to figure you out. Before you got here, he put work into your life. Look at somebody say, I'm special to God. I don't know if you get it yet. That's why I always tell you can find scripture after scripture and just know there should be nobody in this church with low self-esteem. Every Sunday I'm throwing you a nugget, letting you know how important and special you are to God. God said, listen, I didn't do that with birds. When birds got here, I just said, birds be. Come on, somebody. But before you got here, I spent time. I sat back in the lab of life, and I said, I'm going to give her this, and I'm going to give Amber that, and I'm going to make Amber this, and I'm going to make Lady Bryant that. And he sat back and took his time and gave you stuff before you even got here. And if the devil ever tells you you're not important, you better remind yourself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Before I ever got here, God was working on me. I'm not any other meal. I am a heavenly meal that God was putting in time before I ever stepped on this earth. Somebody shout, I'm special. He spent time. He didn't wait, just like you do your preparation for Thanksgiving because it's so special. He says, before you were born, I sat down, and I just spent time on your life. He said, and I gave you a calling, and now I'm not taking it back. He examined your life so much, he says, listen, I spent time, and I can't take it back now. That's why he says it's irrevocable. He says, no matter what you do, and I'll get to this in a couple of weeks, next week, he says, I can't take it back. He says, even if you miss it, you still got it. God, we'll get that next week. And see, and this is what the devil wants people to forget, is how special you are to God. And see, the thing is, we've got to understand that your life is geared around your calling. Church, your purpose is everything. It is literally the very reason you got beat in your heart right now. You got to understand, we've got to get to a point where we figure this calling thing out. Because if God puts so much significance on it, you need to put some significance on it. It's amazing that many of us have, let me put it this way too. Let me help you. Do you know the reason you have body is because you have calling? You had calling before you had body. Put the scripture back up. Let me drive this home so you get it. Put it back up. He says, before I formed you, before you had body, you had calling. Let me make you get it. So the reason you have body is because you have calling. Your body is a byproduct of you having a calling. If you didn't have a calling, you wouldn't have a body. So you got to understand that the reason when I say when people, you know, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Well, the reason you're living is because you have a calling. There it is right there. He says, before I put body on you, I put calling in you. If you didn't have a calling, you would have never had a body. And that's why, you know, if I'm still here, then God knows he's not through with me yet. Because the only reason you have body is because you have calling. And if God says you no longer have calling, then I no longer need you to have a body. Because the whole purpose of your body was for you to have a calling. God, help me. And God said, listen, I looked and I said, here's what I need. I need somebody to work this calling. And I pulled you out and said, here it is in your spirit. And then I said, now I got to give them a body so they can walk this thing out in the earth. And so when we understand the whole thing of calling, you have got to begin to understand and begin to figure out, God, I've got to live my life based off calling. Let me make sure you get this. Is your life is geared around your call. And God says, no matter what happens, I cannot take this thing back. Because of what I put in you is special to heaven. And what every person in here has got to come to the revelation and understanding is that many people in here, we've got living down. We've mastered living, but we have not mastered calling. God has never called you to master living. He's called you to master your calling. We're so busy living and forgot the reason I'm living is because I have a calling. And you're great at living, but why are you great at your calling? We have mastered the wrong thing, and that's why many of us are unsuccessful in life. Because everybody knows how to live, but don't nobody know how to master your calling. And the purpose you're living is because you have a call. And life has took us, we're good at paying bills. We're good at putting food on the table. We're good at just living. We're good at surviving. We can survive some stuff. If you ever been, I grew up in the hood. Come on, somebody. When I was young, especially when I was at my grandmother's house in Oak Cliff, Texas, it was just ghetto. I don't know if you ever lived in a place where winos, actually, they're winos. I don't know, kids are like, what's a wino? But we had winos in the neighborhood. And winos would be laying in her street. In the street. On the curb, because they've been drinking all night. I'm talking about surviving neighborhoods like that. I'm talking about having block government cheese. I'm talking about having candles lit because the power got shut off. I'm just putting a little bit of our business out. You understand? And so I know if I can serve. See, we can master surviving stuff. Come on. I can get some ramen noodles and me and my kids, we can make it through the week. We can master. I don't know if y'all survived anything. Lights go out, but you still living. Come on, somebody. No air conditioning. Turn that window. Put a fan. Don't open the window. Put a box fan up in that joker. But we can master and we can survive life. But we got to learn to do the same thing with what we're called to do. We're mastering the wrong thing, and we have not understand. We're not called to master living, but we're called to master the calling. I hope you're getting this morning. And the church has struggled with, what am I called to do? What am I called to do? And it's mind-blowing because we're working on understanding the you know, what am I called to do at the same time where our focus is on living. And that's where I want to help you in the next couple of weeks is I want to give you evidence of your calling. Touch your neighbor, say, there's evidence of your calling. I'm almost done already this morning. Watch this. Here's what you need to understand. Let me give you the first thing. When it comes to your calling, my first point, if you can put up there for us, your calling is this. Your calling will find you. Look at your neighbor and say, your calling will find you. Let me drink to this. This is pretty good. Why I think this is pretty good is because When I think and just sitting, and I had a Selah moment thinking about the years of my life and dealing with callings in different churches, places, pastors, shepherds been under. And when we talk to people, I've always heard people talk about finding your calling. And then when I look at Scripture, Scripture never shows people finding their calling. Their calling always finds them. And we're telling people, you need to find your calling. That's an error. You don't find your calling. Your calling finds you. Can you imagine? It's amazing because we start looking for callings, you know, like we're trying to find a wife. We start looking for callings. We start, you know, going places. Where's my calling? Can you tell me my calling? It's got to be here. I think my calling's over there. Hey, is that calling? Here it is. It's got to be over here. Will it calling? Where are you? Come on, calling. I know you're somewhere calling. And we're wasting life chasing something that's actually chasing you. It didn't say he who finds a calling finds a good life. It says he who finds a, you ain't supposed to find a calling. You're supposed to, your calling will find you. The church has told people you need to find out your calling. I get what they're saying, but listen, you don't go on a, this is not a scavenger hunt. God didn't say your calling is over there. Let's see if they can find it by 2020. It has never been like that. And the more I look at my life and I've listened to things preachers have said, and I was looking at Scripture, and I begin to realize, church, stop trying to find your calling, because your calling is already looking for you right now. Your calling will find you. You don't find your calling. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Because we have told people, listen, go, you know, find your calling. You're going to be all right. I know what we're saying is you know, they're trying to tell you, you know, start walking in it, get there. But reality is we've sent people on a scavenger hunt like God has left you maps to go find it. And in reality, when it's time, your calling, the thing God has put in you is going to find you in the earth. While you're looking, like right now, many people are so confused on their calling. And they stay and they hear preachers preach and they hear about vision at the beginning of the year and they hear different things and they're like, well, what am I called to do? Then they start looking. It must be over here. Oh, it must got to be over there. That's my call. Oh, that looks like, there it is right there. But here's what I came to tell you. Your calling is going to find you. Let me show you this couple things in Scripture here. I got to back this up with word. When you go to, watch a couple things right here. Let me show you how your calling finds you. When you go to 1 Kings 19:19, give you a couple real quick. 1 Kings 19:19, run through these real quick. When God called Elijah, I want you to catch in Scripture. There's a few things in common about when they were all called by God. And every time they were called, they were not looking. It found them. Watch Elijah. We remember this. So he departed from there and found Elijah, meaning Elijah J found Elijah S, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. This was the call of Elijah. Elijah didn't go to Elijah and say, hey, man, where's my calling? He was minding his business, and he said, you're called. Come with me. Read the rest of the story. He said, come with me, you're called. He says, because, watch this, it wasn't like he was looking, it was looking for him. Okay, I'm going to save you some energy right here. Give me 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1 real quick. 1 Samuel 3, watch the call of right here with Samuel. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Oh, God, that's good stuff. Verse 2, real quick. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Verse 3. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, while Samuel was laying down, meaning the prophet was laying down, and this boy Eli was, they were actually in the church. Everybody say in the church. They were laying down in the church, verse 4, because we know his life, he was dedicated and consecrated to the Lord, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. You notice it said the Lord called Samuel. Not Eli, the Lord called Samuel. Oh, God, this is good. And he said, here I am. Verse 5, watch what happens. So he ran to Eli. Okay, the Lord called him, but he ran to Eli. Okay, here I am, for you called me. He said, I ain't called you. He said, go to sleep. He said, I'm what are you talking about? He laid down. Verse 6, then the Lord yet called, and the Lord called yet again. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered and did not call. He said, I did not call, my son. Go lie down again. See, it's amazing that many of us don't even know God's voice. See, that may be one reason you're missing your calling, because you're so tuned in to other things that we're missing the call of God. And he's been calling. You just don't know him. Watch what he says. God has been calling and calling. He's not answering the call. Watch what's happening. I did not call, my son. Go lie down. He's like, Bushwick Mick, your mind's playing tricks on you. You understand? Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, meaning he was so new to the things of God. He was still young in God. He didn't understand the things of God. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Watch what happens. Verse 8. And the Lord calls Samuel again. Somebody say, I'm so glad God don't give up on my calling. Because if I was God, I'd be like, bro, you just missed it. I got to go. man, listen, I can't be here all night if you ain't going to get this thing. Come on. But God says your calling is irrevocable. And how many know you'd have missed it, but he's still calling somebody right here today. You'd have missed him since 1999. Come on, somebody. Remember when they thought all the power was going to go out? Was that 1999? Just like this coronavirus, everybody think it's going to take us out. If we survived 1999, come on, I remember people had guns, they had food, they had water. We going to die tomorrow. We still here. And how many know God's going to do the same thing with this coronavirus? I'm covered by the blood. It ain't coming nigh me. I'm not going to freak out. I do want some hand sanitizer, but I ain't freaking out. Come on, I'm going to sleep well. I don't want everybody touching me, but I ain't worried about it, though. If I survive that, come on, we can survive this right here. God, touch your neighbor. God got us covered. Don't let the spirit of fear come on you. Come on, somebody. Now, I ain't saying shake everybody's hands, but what I am saying is I ain't worried about it. We done survived a lot. Hey, watch this right here. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. I done lost my track. It was good. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it was good. And watch this right here. So then Eli perceived that the Lord called the, watch this, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am. He says, here I am, for you did call me. Then the man of God realized God is calling him. He said, God is calling him right now. He says, he realized he's getting ready. God is now, because remember, he didn't know a lot about God. But God says, now it's time for you to go and begin to understand me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called him. Watch what happened. Samuel was not looking for God. The God was looking for him. See, we're so busy looking for the call will find you. God help me, this is good right here. I got to keep proving my point. Okay, watch this. Give me, you remember the story with David. We looked at this, 1 Samuel 16 and 11. Remember when David was anointed with oil? That remember, the oil, the reason why he was anointed is because he had the calling. We wore this out the last 4 weeks, but let's look at it again. And Samuel said to Jesse, remember, all these young men here, remember, all the sons. Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he would not sit down to any cup. Remember, we looked at this for 4 weeks. The reason why he was anointed is because he had a call to be a king. Okay, we work the anointing side, but the reason we work the anointing on his life because he had a calling on his life. But what I need you to understand is when he was called, watch this, he was somewhere on the backside minding his business focused on sheep. And God says, go get him. What I'm trying to get you to understand is you don't have to chase your calling. Your calling is going to come and chase you. In any one of these, every time God called them, every one of them were not looking for their calling. Okay, let me give you one more just in case you're not with me. Give me Exodus real quick. Exodus 3, verse 1. And we'll look at Moses. Here it is right here. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. God, watch this right here. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Fast forward to verse 10 if you can. Just give me verse 10. I need to get where I got to be. Verse 10. Now, I need you to understand, Moses is now getting called. And watch where he is, verse 10. He was on the backside, just like David. Watch how common. He was on the backside dealing with some sheep. He wasn't on the front side. Where's my calling? Come on, where I know it's here. All of a sudden, God comes and he says, come now, therefore. Watch what he says. This is the call of Moses on his life. I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children out of Israel, out of Egypt. He says, I'm calling you to come deliver my people. Moses wasn't trying to go worry about call, trying to. Moses was like, listen, I'm not trying to go deliver nobody. Moses was minding his business, and God says, when I call you, when your calling finds you, you don't care what you're doing. When the calling comes, you're going to walk in it. It's going to keep looking for you until you get there. And what I need you to understand, I need somebody to breathe a little bit, is because we have been taught by the church, find your calling. Find your calling. I don't see any of them finding their calling. Their calling found each and every one of them. And as I go through scripture after scripture after scripture, I came to tell somebody, breathe, relax. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody online today, that you need to not worry about, did I miss my calling? Because you cannot miss your calling. He'll keep calling till you get to your calling. He'll call again, and 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 he'll call again. And I came to tell somebody, he's still calling you to get to what he called you to do. And we told people, find your calling. You don't have to find it. It'll find you. Watch this right here. Let me show you how it came to pass, though. There are certain things that you'll find in each and every one of them. Is that when their calling came, watch this, not one of them were looking for it, but they did all have something in common when the call came. When the call came, none of them were looking for it. That's the first thing we all have in common. They all had. But when they were called, they were all busy. Oh, you missed it. God help you. God, the call is going to find you, but it's going to find you when you're busy. Oh, God. See, I believe that some of you, watch what happens. You were all serving the Lord in some capacity when God called them on the call. I need you to take a good look at your life. And I believe that God is calling some people. He's waiting to call. He's waiting on you to start serving so he can call you. God is not going to call somebody who ain't doing nothing. You're called, but he ain't calling until you get busy. Okay, watch. I'm going to help you. I'm trying to help you right here. It's that simple. Watch what happened. We saw the whole thing. We saw with every single one of them. When we looked at the life of Elijah, the Bible says Elijah was plowing, and the other Elijah came up and said, hey, come with me. He was in the middle of working when he got called. If you want to walk in your calling, let God catch you working. When he went to Moses, the Bible said Moses was on the backside with Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep. With his animals, he was out working, he was tending, he was doing something. And then God said, he's working, go get him. God help me. Because you can't call somebody who ain't doing nothing. Because when you call them, then they still ain't going to do nothing. God is looking for somebody who's got their hand to the plow. Matter of fact, Elijah had a plow in his hand when he was called. And I need to ask somebody, what are you doing for the Lord? You're living, but what are you doing for the Lord? If you're waiting for your calling, your calling is waiting on you. When he went to David, they say, hey, where David at? Oh, he's on the backside tending the sheep. I said, where was they? Don't you have some more sons? Yeah, I got one, but he's back there working. You notice none of the seven were doing anything. That's why none of the seven were called. None of his brothers were working. They were just standing around. Yeah, they right here chilling. Only one son was working, and that's the one who got called. He had his hand to the plow. Everybody else was like, yep, that's me. I look the part. Yeah, I'm just hanging out. Yep. Oh, man, this is great. Just sitting around doing absolutely nothing. The one that was working, he said, matter of fact, everybody stay here. Go give me the one that's working. Because whoever's working is called. Your calling will call you. Your calling will reach out to you. Then we see we see Samuel. Samuel was in the temple. God, help me. The Bible lets us know he was in God's house because he ministered in the house. He was with Samuel, and every day he worked in the house. Watch this right here. And he was in God's house, and he got called. And I came to tell somebody, the only thing God is waiting on you, he's already called you, but he's not calling you until you put your hand to the plow and say, it's time for me to do something. You can, God, help me. We are so busy mastering life, but we're not serving God anywhere in our life, and your calling is connected to serving. I'm trying to help you. Let me ask Lady Brian, my mother, ask everybody in my family. When God called me, I was everything. I was doing security at the church. I was, what else was I doing? I was doing announcements at the church. I was teaching at the church. I would stay there and do security overnight at the church because they just need somebody to stay. You know, people weren't volunteering. Come on, somebody. They were like, no, I'm good. People like, I'll feed you. I told the pastor, I went and gassed up his car. What you need? I gas your car. I wash it on Sundays because we used to take his car to car wash while he's preaching. They said, man of God, when you get done preaching, your car will be clean. I used to take it right there to 59th Avenue Bell, and I have his car washed. They put me in the children's ministry one time, then I raised up. Come on, somebody. I said, nope, that's not the call. No, it's a true story. I love the kids. I enjoyed every bit of it until I got bit. Yep. So it's not that I don't like children. I love children. I mean, I love kids. I love being around kids. It was up to me. I have 20 more of them jokers. Come on, somebody. But I got bit by a little girl. Now, I'm talking about bit. I'm talking about bit. Teeth mark, the little circle thing on my thigh. Because she didn't want to do, and man, I went to take my belt off, and I said, you can't do that. I was like, I'm done. I can't whoop them. I can't serve them. Come on, somebody. Ask her. I walked right out because I took my belt off, and she was like, you're at church. I said, I'm done. This is not God revealed. That's not your calling right there. And when God said to me on the 101, it was the 101 and right about McDowell when he began to give me the name of this ministry. He found me working. I don't care if your call is ministry or your call is something else. Until you serve in God, you'll never find your calling. Meaning you'll never walk in your calling. It won't find you. Because it's a magnet to those who've got their hand to the plow for the Lord. When you look at each and every one of them, that is the one thing they had in common, was everybody was where we've mastered life, but we have not mastered serving. And serving is connected to your calling. When Jesus went and found his disciples, they were all doing something. They were fishing. They were working. Hey, come follow me. If you want to walk in your calling, see, this is why the Bible says, watch what it says, do not grow weary in well-doing. See, because we start serving, and we say, well, where's my calling? And we get weary, we stop serving. God help me. But you've got to understand, when you're serving, all God is doing is preparing you for what you're called for. And you don't even know it yet. God help me. I'll get to that in week two. I'll get to that in week two. Because even in your serving, God is preparing. God. Touch your neighbor, say, God, your calling is looking for you. Watch this. Let me help you. Here it is. Here's the other thing. When you want evidence of your calling, it's going to be that, watch this right here, is that your calling is looking for you. The second point I got to give you is this, is that your calling, point two, your calling will satisfy your spirit. The calling on your life will satisfy your spirit. Okay. See, the reason, let me help you understand why so many of you are frustrated. You're frustrated. Not because you're frustrated. You're frustrated because you're not in your calling. Okay. Your life feels empty and you don't know why. Because you're created with a purpose and a calling. And as you go through life, your spirit is looking for what it's called to do. Now you have a void somewhere and you don't know why that void is there. Let me, Jeremiah 1:5, let's look at it one more time. Because what we've got to understand is remember when God called you, you had no flesh. When he called you, when he formed him, he had no body. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He says, so before you were born, I sanctified and ordained you a prophet, meaning I gave you a calling before you had body. And so now when he gives you body, watch this right here, you still have a spirit with a calling. So as we talked about, the reason why you have the body is because you have the calling. But remember, the calling's not in the body, the calling's in the spirit. But now you're in a body, now you begin to feel unsatisfied in your life, and you think it's something going on in your mind and your body, but the unsatisfied is really your calling and your spirit. And what you try to do is when you feel unsatisfied, you try to satisfy the spirit with something in the flesh. Because you feel so out of order, you think the problem is in your marriage. You think the problem is your job, and the reality, it has nothing to do with your flesh. It's really your spirit is feeling unfulfilled with what it's called to do, but all you see is body. God, help me. So now I'm smoking weed trying to fulfill a spiritual calling because I need to make myself feel better while I feel unfulfilled. But I came to tell somebody, I don't care how much money you ever get. I don't care what big house you live in. You cannot satisfy a spiritual calling with fleshly things. And the reason why some of us are on Prozac right now, it has nothing to do with your life. It has all to do with your calling. And you are so unsatisfied every day you wake up. It's not because of your body, your marriage, your children, your parenting. It's because you have a calling and you're nowhere near it yet. And what we are struggling with in the body is we're doing everything to satisfy the flesh. And you get money and you still aren't satisfied. You get a new job, you still can't be satisfied. You get a new boo, you still can't be satisfied. You get a new car, you still have this emptiness in you because you cannot touch a spiritual itch by satisfying the flesh. And people are frustrated. And they think it's something in their life, and they're going to shrinks and doctors and all those things. Nothing wrong with counseling, Christian counseling. But what I need you to understand is the reason why you feel the way you feel is because you're really unsatisfied in the spirit. And no one has ever examined our life enough to say, why am I so depressed right now? What is going on in me? And we're looking at everything outside, but it's time for you to look on the inside and say, I've got to begin to serve and love God and focus on God so he can bring me into my calling. And when you step into your calling, good God Almighty, life begins to change. You feel different inside and outside, not because of money, not because of house, not because of fans, not because of car, but my spirit has touched what it's called to do, and it changes who you are. Let me tell you how you know. Let me tell you this right now. I don't care how much money you get. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how much money you get. It will not satisfy a spiritual calling. That's why you have billionaires and millionaires who blow their brains out. We all say, what in the world are they thinking? Well, they got all that money. It's because they missed their calling in life. We're like, what's wrong with them? Give me that. I'm going to be all right. No, you won't. Because you're created to be fulfilled in your spirit. That's why we got people changing marriages left and right, because they can't get satisfied. This is why you don't need another one. All you need is to get into the place where God begins to call you and you walk in what your purpose is. You're unsatisfied in the spirit because you're nowhere near your calling. I could have saved somebody at least three marriages up in here. Buying stuff, up all night trying to buy stuff, feel good, got a house full of foolishness because you're trying to satisfy something. And the body is a byproduct of the calling. And you're trying to satisfy something that's only there because you're called. This might be too deep for Sunday, I'm not sure. And what we need to understand is once you begin, see, this is how you know when you're in your calling, is when you realize, I don't need a lot of money, and it may not be glamorous to everybody else, but it feels good to me. See, look, let me tell you something. If you ever try to get in your calling because of money, you're probably missing your calling. Because you can be in your calling and be broke, and you still feel satisfied. See, money is a byproduct of being in your calling. See, God don't want somebody broke in their calling. See, what happens, though, we see people try to get into something because they think it's for money. But once you get into what God calls you to do, he's going to make sure you have enough. See, because let me tell you something. I remember, and a few people remember this, that have been with us for a long time. Cindy, the Bates, and I shouldn't have said that for other people who were in the old school, the very first school in 2009. When we started this church, I used to, every morning with my family, I had a Dodge Durango. And we would load that Dodge Durango up every Sunday morning with carpet, with what else we put in that joker? Speakers. Every morning before church, I got up every single morning with my family. I load the speakers up. I had carpet that was like 20 feet. Lady Brian and I are shoving it in our Dodge Durango, hanging out the window. I mean, we had stuff all there because when we got to church at the school, we had to set up every morning. See, some people walked into this. Come on, somebody. But there was a time when there was no this. Every morning we have people who would be there faithful with us. I pull up in my Dodge Durango, window down. Come on, somebody. And I couldn't get, we couldn't get our family in the car. I got kids between carpet and speakers and drums, little foot hanging out over there. We had to pack everything in there and drive it to church. And when church was over, we had to roll that bad boy up. Your boy was right there, and we would shove it back in there, and we drive right back down to our neighborhood and unload it back in our house every Sunday. And if somebody saw that mess on the outside, they'd be like, why are you even doing that mess? Our neighbors are probably like, are you for real? But I was so satisfied. I felt so good about my little rug and my little carpet and stuff hanging out. And everybody else probably been like, I don't even want that calling. Come on, somebody. That looks like a hot mess. But to me, that was the best thing in the world. I didn't have a lot of money. I had my own personal job. I had my Durango. We had kids hanging out. But baby, I was in a satisfied place because I finally walked in one of the things God called me to do. And this is a key to somebody. It's sometimes when you get into your calling, it is not glamorous. It will not woo you. But you will still be the best you. You won't have anything, but you will feel better than you ever felt before. You may not have it like we have it now, and you may not have it like we got it in 2025, but baby, that was the best hours of my life because I walked into my calling. I felt better than I ever felt just rolling in the Dodge Durango. Come on, somebody. Going up into my neighborhood feeling good and unloading every Sunday. See, if you cannot be satisfied with your calling where it's at, God will never elevate you in your calling. Watch this right here. I think it's Luke 16. Luke 16, 11. What is that? Luke 16. Let me show it to you real quick. Because the Bible says, it literally says, it talks about if you're not faithful with a little thing, 16, 10. He was not faithful in the least. And what is least? He says, who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Can you imagine? If I looked at Lady Brian every Sunday, I was like, I ain't doing this foolishness. This is stupid. I'm tired of it'd be Sunday number two. We ain't doing this. But because we were satisfied in that season, that we did not despise the day of small beginnings. See, because in certain seasons, wherever you are, you got to be satisfied in that season. See, this is where you know when people are in their calling. It's when it may not be where you want it to be, but you realize, I'm glad it's where it's at, and you can appreciate God for what you have in your calling. And see, some people, you got to realize that there's something. This is why you can't worry about when you're in your calling, stop worrying about what people think about your calling. See, this is why I have to be careful when people come in here and they start comparing. I already know where God is taking this ministry. I already know. But that's why the Bible says it's foolish to compare yourself with somebody else. It is foolish to look at somebody else and say, look what they have, because what happens is you become unappreciative for what God has for your life. And maybe the reason why somebody hasn't been promoted is because you've been looking at other people's stuff and you're not satisfied with your stuff. And the reality is, if you didn't see their stuff, you would be just fine. So you need to keep your eyes in your own lane and begin to thank God every day for what you got. Whatever your calling is, if you just started a business and all you got is one customer, you better wake up and thank God for that one customer every single day. You better celebrate that God gave you one customer. Come on, somebody. And if you ain't got one customer, you thank God for the door has been open, because when God sees you faithful with the one, he'll promote you to more in your calling. Unsatisfied people in what God gives them usually means that you're not in your calling. Because, and what I mean by that, and I'm not saying that you're not pushing for more, but you realize I'm blessed with what I have. You always strive for more. God made us that way. But at the same time, you got to be at a point in your life where you begin to celebrate where you are. See, and when you get in your calling, some people can't celebrate it because of what it looks like. And one of the greatest challenges for us, church, is to understand everybody's calling and the journey of their calling is never going to be the same. I've seen people that start journeys that are similar and some just move different. And you got to realize wherever you are in your journey of your calling, celebrate it every single day. Every day. Because if you're unsatisfied, now there can be a point where you say, God, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I want more. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I still want more because God created us to hunger for more. But at the same time, it can't be so much that you hunger for more, you don't appreciate what you have. Because there's no way you can say, I'm satisfied with what I am, but what you're saying is, God, I know every day I am so thankful for this right here, but at the same time, I know you got more for your boy out there. And when you can still celebrate what you have but expect more from God, that's when you know you're going the right way. And I don't know if I'm talking to a business owner who's called. You got to celebrate your business every day. You got to grind every day. It's not going to be pretty every day. Only person that should, don't care if your neighbors aren't satisfied, as long as you're satisfied sweeping that barbershop. I don't know what you do. Just be satisfied with what you have. I feel the Holy Spirit talking to somebody. You got to be satisfied with what God has called you into. And no matter if it's not growing at this moment, just celebrate what you have, and God will take you to another level. But when you get unfaithful because you're like, it ain't worth all that, I don't have all that, God will never grow you in your calling. Because when God calls, there's levels that you can grow in your calling. And every person must understand that when you get into your calling, I need you to celebrate. I'm trying to move past that, but I just hear, you've got to learn to celebrate what you have. When you get into, you've got to appreciate yourself and what God is doing in your life. And I know, I've seen people who, and what one of the things that can be, if you can never be satisfied where you are, you probably aren't in your calling. Because your spirit will be satisfied. Your inner man will feel good. Because now you stepped into what God spent time on before you ever got here. And now you feel it, and you feel so good in it. Even though it may not look good, but you feel good on the inside. And that's why you celebrate it. And I'm trying to tell somebody, you got to learn. I'm trying to move to my last point and raise up, is because there's somebody that needs to hear this. Wherever you are, I need you to celebrate today for the Lord. Whoever, you know who God is talking to, that you've got to celebrate where you are. You got to every day just thank him, God. God, you just got to shout in your house, turn some worship on, and just thank God when it's just nothing but you and nothing. Come on, because that nothing to turn to something. You got to praise yourself into growth. You got to pray, because somebody needs to hear this. I feel I can literally hear the Holy Spirit saying they're in their calling, but they feel so down in it to such a degree because they're letting their flesh overwhelm their spirit. But your spirit's got to overwhelm your flesh, and you got to thank God, I'm here. I finally arrived. I got a lot of work to do, but baby, now that I'm here in my calling, my spirit just wants to shout, and you cannot let your eyes get in the way of your spirit. And when you do that, God's going to bless your life. Let me give you my third point. Watch this, and we're done. Here's the other thing. This right here is interesting, because one of the things that can mess you up is that, and one of the reasons it seems so frustrating with reaching your calling is when you get to the third one, it's really that we have multiple callings. It's going to get good. We have multiple callings. And when you have multiple callings, you've got to understand that some people, you still got to understand, when God built you, he didn't build you one-dimensional. I remember reading Moses, when Moses was leading God's people, God said, take the spirit. He says, Moses, here's what you do. Take some people. I need them to help you to do what I've called you to do. And he says, I want you to pray over them. And what God did, the Bible says that God took Moses, the spirit that was on Moses, and he put it on like 70 people. Meaning Moses had in him so much, he didn't realize it. Excuse me. What God said, give me 70 people, and they're going to help you. And this scripture has always blown me. It's one of the most amazing revelations that I ever seen. Is when God said he took Moses' spirit and put it on all the people. And they sent and did all this work. And the work they did, it all came from what was on Moses' spirit. So they walked into certain callings to do things. Watch this. But everything he put on them, he took out of Moses. He never said, I'm going to put my spirit on them to help you. The Bible says he took the spirit of Moses and he put it on them. See, this is why it says, when we looked at that scripture earlier, and it talks about how giftings and callings are without repentance. That's why when you talk about shepherds and apostles and prophets, because inside of them there are some dynamic different things, because every leader, anytime I've set leaders in different things, it's the same thing with Moses. God will put things in a shepherd that has multiple callings. And he takes that spirit, puts it on leaders, and they help you with what God has called you to do. So where am I going with this is, everybody needs to understand, inside of us there are multiple callings. See, you got to understand that when God called you, when he was working on you in the lab of heaven, that he didn't just put one thing on you. He put a calling in different areas. For example, how many know that you're called to be a parent? If you have kids, you're called to be a parent. And then you're called to be a worker or whatever your job is or whatever your calling is. Like my calling, I'm called to be a shepherd. That's one of my callings. But when I get home to my children, I have a different calling. I'm called to be daddy now. Can you imagine if I go home every Sunday? Talking about I'm almost done. Dad, I'm almost finished. If I told my daughters, touch your Dave, touch your other sister 3 times and change the channel. Come on, somebody. You know. That makes no sense. That's a different calling. When I get home, I start shifting and walking in another calling. And we have different callings in our lives. And just like you have different anointings, you have different callings. That's why you can have different anointings to match every calling. And where does this come in play? It's because I'm really talking to the Club 55. I'm talking to us that are maturing in life. Because once you finish one calling, you cannot allow yourself to sit back and just wait on heaven, on the sweet by and by. Talking about I did that for 40 years, now I'm just waiting on God. I've seen too many pastors who went through a season of shepherding, and now they don't know what to do with themselves, now they've retired from shepherding. Because now they thought that one calling was their only calling in life. That's why you have all these NBA players that they are literally called and professional people. They're called to do those things. But when that's over, they don't know what to do with their life because they thought that was their only calling. And they find themselves in trouble. And you know, we've heard people say that an idle mind is a devil's playground. And when you step out of one calling or you may fulfill that calling, you got to realize there's some other callings in your life. And your callings will shift. And that's why when I see seasoned people, I try to pull them and tell them there's more for you to do in your life. Whatever you did for 30 years and you feel you're at the end of it, well, guess what? There's another calling on your life, and you got to start walking in that calling. God, let me help you. Watch this right here. This will save somebody's life. Watch this. Because remember we saw in Exodus chapter 3, give me verse 10. I think it was verse 10. We saw this with Moses. I want to... No, Exodus chapter 3. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Give me a blah, 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 blah. That's not Exodus 3. That is Exodus 3, but that's not what I want. Let me slide up. Give me Exodus 3. Yeah, that's what I said. Exodus 3 and 10. Yeah, I'm right there. Come on, y'all pray for me. I'm good. Watch this. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring. Watch Moses. Moses, watch his calling shift. He says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Say with me. So when God called him, his call as a young man was to bring people out. His call when God called him as a young man was to bring people out. Give me Exodus 3 and 1. And then as life went on and he brought them out, now God says, now Moses was, that's not it. Hang on. Did I say Exodus 33 and 1? We close. Put another 3 in there. We're there. Watch this. And he tells Moses on Mount Sinai, watch what he says. Lord says to Moses, depart and go from here, you and the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham. There's a shift that took place. He went from bringing people out. Now he was supposed to take them in. God help me. Bringing people out is one calling. Now he has to take them in is a different calling. And we know the story. He didn't fulfill that calling. Now, what happened is, because how many know to bring somebody out of something takes a lot more energy than to bring people into something. And when you're young, God will give you a calling that may be a little bit more laborious. But when you get older, the calling still is a calling, but it may not be as laborious. Because bringing people out of something is harder than bringing people into something. God help me. Let me teach you something. See, the hardest thing is to help somebody who's in something. They say that because when you help somebody who's in something, you gotta deal with changing their ideology, changing habits and old ways, and people will fight you for what they always knew. And it takes a lot of energy to tell somebody, that's not, I know you've been that way your whole life, but God don't want it that way. It takes a lot of energy to break how somebody has always been. It's easier to bring somebody into something because they're excited and you can take them where they want to go versus to deal with. If you ever been dealing with somebody that's hurt, because that's one of the callings God has given us, is to deal with hurt people. Hurt people are the hardest people to minister because they always gravitate back to what they were in. And you're trying to break that mindset and how it was. Because remember, the children of Israel, when they were in the desert, they always kept saying, we were better off in Egypt. We were better off in Egypt. At least in Egypt, we had some beans and stuff, because they always would gravitate back. That's why when you see somebody in a bad relationship, it takes more energy to bring somebody out of something abusive, and we're trying to spend all night dealing with them, losing sleep, because it's hard to help somebody who's been in something. And as Moses got older, God says, I'm not going to call you to do something so strenuous, but I am calling you. And then when he blew it and God says, you can't take them in, God began to take him up. Because his second calling, the other thing, was to bring them in. But when he blew it, God said, that was why you were here to live, was to go into the promised land. And that's why I said, if you don't walk in your calling, why are you here? He said, Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people, not just the people, you and the people who you brought out of the land of Egypt. Go into the land which I swore to Abraham. He says, now I'm calling you to go in somewhere. But because he blew it, God said, you can't go in. And the Bible let us know he died on the mountain. Because his calling, God says, you're not going to walk in it. Church, I'm trying to tell you the power of calling. Is that I don't care what age you are in here, you have a calling. If you came out of one calling, you've been doing it for 25 years just doing this, and now that thing is over, you feel like, man, what am I doing with my life? You got another calling. And God is going to bring you into it. Because as soon as that thing was over, like Moses, he would have took you up. But because you're still here, he said, it's time to find that next calling of your life. It's more in you than you ever can imagine. You have more in you. And now that one season is over, there's multiple callings. And I believe today, I don't care who you are, that's why I always encourage people, put your hand to the plow. People always think we're trying to get volunteers. I'm trying to tell you how God will promote. As soon as he just sees you smiling and serving, you're ready. You're ready. And I believe it's time for somebody to say, it's time for me to get to my calling. Because not walking in your calling can be a dangerous place. It can be, because that's your whole purpose of creation. Stand to your feet. We got to go. Because I got a lot more. And if I open this up, we're going to be here till Palm Sunday. Because what I need somebody to understand is that calling is so significant to your life. The church has always told people, go find your calling. Go find your calling. Go find your calling. You need to find your calling. No, you don't. Your calling is looking for you. It's looking for you to put your hand to the plow